This podcast contains graphic descriptions of violent crimes, including murder, assault, and details of human suffering that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please reach out to a trusted professional or crisis hotline for support. The following story is true. Please proceed with caution. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to The Husband Did It podcast. I am on with my co-host, Amy. How are you, Amy?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. The case that we chose for this, for the first couple of runs of this podcast, it's weird. Like, we chose a boyfriend one, and this one gets overturned. We do promise that eventually our cases will be genuine husbands who've been found guilty by the court of law.
Correct.
We're not saying, at least I'm not saying, that this particular person is innocent or guilty, although when we get to the end, I guess we should reveal what we both individually think.
Yeah.
Amy, what are we talking about today?
So we're talking about family annihilation, familicide.
Yeah, what are their names?
So, Susan Hendricks is the wife of David Hendricks. Mm-hmm. They have three young children, Rebecca, who is 9, Grace, who's 7, Benjamin, who was 5. And they were all brutally murdered, except David, in their home at 313 Carl Drive in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yeah, it's a heinous crime. It's a heinous murder. Mm-hmm. The story is that, you know what's weird is I listened to a few podcasts that were talking about this. I watched a few videos about it.
Yeah.
I really wish I took the time to read the book, but I think that I would have come to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
Now, what the thing is, and this is me being a little bit of pointing my finger at other fellow podcasters. Mm-hmm. They tend to dive into details that are just a little unimportant to the case.
I totally agree with you, and I wonder if we'd listen to the same one.
They were talking about how Susan's father was in the military, and mm-hmm. and you know what? God bless him. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I have nothing but respect for our veterans. Absolutely. But it has nothing to do with the fact that Susan was brutally murdered and axed right. to death, and her neck was slit with a butcher knife.
Yep.
I understand you want to tell a story, but the story is not about her father.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to talk about here that does not involve a family tree outside of the direct family tree. That's all.
Right.
So,
yes.
And people will be like, well, Mark, you say a lot. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I do.
We do.
I do. And, you know, that's just, yeah, that's, sorry. That's I'm working just, on it.
The way it goes.
Yeah. Rhymes with dumb. I don't know what to say. So, yeah, as you said, they had three young children, 2 girls, 1 boy, and the story is kind of straightforward.
Yeah.
David.
Way to jump ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, way to jump ahead.
David was, you know, he had met Susan when they were in school. They're both in kind of a medical field, and they went to school for prosthetics.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, David did.
I could have sworn it was somewhere that she had something to do with prosthetics, that they met in school. I'm not 100% sure.
They met in high school, and they got married right out of high school, and I think it was his brother or brother-in-law who told him to get into like prosthetics and orthotics mm-hmm. because that was like where the money was, and so he did. He ended up going to school for it, and he was very successful. You know, they were pretty young.
Yeah,
they were 30.
He invented some back brace.
Yes.
So he might have patented it. I don't know if I heard that.
He did patent it.
So that's really, you know, where the money is. People could make a pretty good living selling medical appliances and prosthetics. You know, of course, it's a ton of money. Yep.
Although there's a little bit of a scandal with this particular story.
You mean in terms of prosthetics?
I mean in terms of who he had trying on this particular back brace.
Yeah, like later on, like with the models and stuff. I guess we'll get into that just because I do have some strong opinions about that. And I guess, you know, that's just one of those things. And that's one thing I meant to do. I wanted to do a little bit of a deep dive to find those photos that were used. Right. Because they had to have been used for a catalog of some sort. And they had to have been probably grabbed and then put into...
I don't know.
Like they're probably out there.
Just for himself.
But they seem like your normal family. They lived in Bloomington, Illinois.
They did.
And, you know, they
belong to a really strict fundamentalist Christian sect. It was called the Exclusive Plymouth Brethren. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, Susan was involved too, so I don't know why they call it Brethren, but either way, they were, you know, super strict religiously. At first.
Sorry, the same message. Okay. They were part of a particular sect of Christianity. I thought it was a straight Christianity, but there were several, just like all religions, is different, you know, versions of it, I guess.
Right.
The part that they were talking about, you know, it sounds like they were really involved with their church. You know, separately and then together. But they seem like an all-American family.
They really did. You know, the three kids, the, you know, happy marriage. They were, you know, financially successful. Mm-hmm. And I just don't really know what happened there.
Well, the night that all of this kind of went down was in the beginning of November. So on November 7th, David and took him, his wife and his kids out to Chuck E. Cheese for lunch. Dinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids in the 80s, Chuck E. Cheese, kids now in 2026, they love Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
I thought Chuck E. Cheese was going out of business, by the way. They just opened a new one near me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. But, I did my time in Chuck E. Cheese, and until I'm a grandfather, I don't plan on returning.
Yeah, that's probably where the smart money is. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I was at a Chuck E. Cheese, honestly.
Yeah.
I know that I've been at least once.
But what he did is he, you know, they went there, of course, and they ate the pizza, which is disgusting. They ate the Chuck E. Cheese pizza and played some games, and they had a good time. They had a, you know, family night out.
Yeah. You know what's weird to me? That, like, Chuck E. Cheese has veggie pizza?
Yeah, like vegetarian pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had legit vegetarian pizza. I mean, in 1983, I don't know if they had, I mean, maybe vegetarian, but not vegan or anything. I mean, there was cheese.
Yeah, no, not vegan. Like, there was cheese on it, but, like, the toppings, like, were vegetable.
I would imagine that a vegetarian pizza would not be so difficult at Chuck E. Cheese.
I guess. It just doesn't seem like...
They keep pushing it, though. They keep saying vegetarian pizza.
Yeah, which will come into play later.
Most pizza is vegetarian, unless the sauces have, like, meat cooked into it.
Yeah, like it's a meat sauce or something.
It's not very uncommon to start a sauce with bacon and, you know, bacon fat. So,
right.
Yeah, but if you leave that out, you know, of course, this is the pizza show, everyone.
Yes, so, it is.
So they went home after Chuck E. Cheese. I believe it was described that they were kind of playing, like David was chasing his kid around. They were playing like hide and go seek.
Yep.
You know, and they were having like one of these nights. He put the kids to bed. He hung out with his wife until what? Until like 11?
Midnight. Yeah, he left at midnight.
You got midnight. I got 11 o'clock.
Oh, so yeah. Well, either way. He left for a business trip in Wisconsin. Here's the weird thing, and here's what bothers me about that off the rip.
Right.
So he plans this business trip. He didn't take the back brace with him. He didn't have any like sales calls lined up. So he was just going to fly by the seat of his pants. I mean, I don't know. It's just strange.
It's definitely weird because he drove about everywhere I've read. I think I read in one spot
7 hours.
That it was like 12. They left at midnight, but mostly I think it's been that it's midnight. But you know, I mean that it's 11. But let's just say it's 11:30. I don't know.
Either way,
he doesn't arrive to his destination until about 7:15 the next morning.
Right. And he goes into a diner and changes into like his suit for the day.
Now, that's that is a road trip to me.
Right. That's a road trip.
But it's not completely uncommon.
It's not, but
I have friends who will drive to California, just because
like for business.
Yeah. My friend Dennis, he buys a lot of very high end collectibles. And he'll just be like, yeah, this guy in Arizona has like a certain comic book. He's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to, you know, pick it up. Huh. And, you know, the price of it is definitely worth his while. And he'll just drive for like 16 hours. Ugh. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. Seriously. But I love it, you know, because it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Just weird because you would think that he would have set up something or at least brought the brace with him. So that just sends up some red flags for me right away.
Right.
But
he tried to contact Susan the next morning.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And you know, he did make a lot of stops. I'm presuming 1983, you're only getting what, like 18 miles a gallon? So I mean, you gotta stop every couple of hours, excuse me.
Right.
So you got at least 3 receipts for that. Now that could also mean for tax purposes. You know what it is? Yeah. I'm going to throw everything out there and I'm going to say, well, he could have done this and he could have done that. And that's really kind of building on my case of reasonable doubt.
Yep. Then, you know, there is reasonable doubt here. I will give that.
There
to
is
you.
Such a red flag, Amy, that I'm going to reveal.
Ooh.
That it's going to blow your mind. You're going to say, get out of here. You're going to be like, get the F out of here. You're going to say, where did you hear about this? I fact checked it. It's true.
Oh,
it's going to blow your mind.
All right. I will brace myself.
So he's calling up Susan and he's getting concerned, of course. You know, like your husband would be calling you and it's what the hell. Decides to call the police. The next day, I don't know what time it was the next day that he asked for the wellness check.
I don't either, but I do know that I believe that David did call Susan's sister to see if she could get a hold of her. Nobody could get a hold of her.
I'm sorry. 10:30 the next night.
Okay, that makes sense because what I know to have happened is the police go there for the welfare check or wellness check. They go in with their flashlights and they're met with 2 flashlights shining back at them. Mm-hmm. And it's Susan's sister and her husband. So the cops tell them, you know, this could be a crime scene. Like, you guys need to just go back outside so that you don't see anything that, you know, you don't want to see. And we don't contaminate the crime scene.
I'm also doing a quick search. We don't know exactly where he was going. We just know that it was a sales call in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Maybe he was going to pick up some delicious cheddar. I do love my cheddar.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, I mean, if you look at your screen right now, Amy, you see like it's a straight shot.
Yeah. But
it's according to, see, this is the thing. According to this, it's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah, see, that was brought up with some stuff that I had looked up. And so I have to wonder, like, did he, like, pull over a few times or, you know, one time to, like, you know, catch a power nap, maybe? I don't know.
How big is Wisconsin? Where does Wisconsin start and end?
I don't even.
Yeah, know. I don't know anything.
Geography is, I'm terrible at geography.
Like, is that still Wisconsin? Like, I'm just kind of clicking around. Like, is that Wisconsin? I don't know. Like, you guys are morons. It's like, you know what? Don't call Amy a moron. I'm the moron.
I'm a criminologist, not a geographer. Right.
No, I never claimed to be a mappist.
A mappist. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, long story short, it could have been. It could have been a far, like, northern part of Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, who knows? Who knows?
I will tell you that I drove to New York City once. And
me too.
What? I'm sure you do it a lot more than me. Uh-huh. It was in 2016 in April. And what was supposed to take us literally 3 hours took us 7.5 get there. And then coming back, it took us 9 effing hours. It was worth it, though.
New York City traffic is bananas.
It is bananas. And, like, I'm a masshole, and I have road rage. And, you know, I'm like, I'm going to get us killed.
Look, this is how far I am. Like, I'll just give you an idea if you look on the map. Around this general area is where I live.
Yep.
And Manhattan's here.
Yep.
So this is, like, if you were to just, let me see how close I am to JFK. Right. If you were to just kind of leap this way, I think it's like 22 miles or something. Yeah, that's, you can get there in, you know, no time. But it still takes, it'll take about a 45-minute train ride.
Yeah. But the traffic is unbelievable. I stayed in Soho. And,
nice. I used to work in Soho.
I went there to do was sing with a friend of mine. He's a blues musician. He's pretty famous in the blues world. His name's Jason Ritchie, for anyone who knows. I actually sang with him at Terra Blues.
Oh, I know Terra Blues.
Greenwich Village. Yeah, and it was super fun.
That's awesome.
We have pretty cool stories.
Yeah, pretty fun. You gotta do it again. Mm-hmm. That's what you gotta do.
I know.
So it would be in the next day. So 10:30, he's calling relatives. He's calling neighbors. He's like, hey, have you seen Susan and the kids? What's interesting about this is do you do that? Yeah, you do that, right?
If you're guilty, you do that.
You do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls the police. He's like, can you please welfare check? They go in and they discover bodies.
Yeah.
Bludgeoned, stabbed, killed, murdered to death with an axe. And everything is really clean. That's one way it was described, is that the house itself.
I was just gonna say that it was like the cleanest, bloodiest crime scene these cops have ever seen.
But there's no footprints. There's no all the blood spatter makes sense. Mm-hmm. They could see how it happened. They're like, well, if he had done this, and this is going to be a little graphic, you know, whoever did this used an axe to bludgeon these people to death, but there's no signs that they tried to fight back.
Yes.
That
always gets me.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're talking about four people.
Right. And I'm relieved, you know, because they were probably unconscious, and not probably, they most likely were, so I'm hoping that they didn't suffer, but like, Susan's neck was like attacked and like arterial blood spray, excuse me. I know, graphic, like that. It goes far. It's really strong.
Yeah.
And there's no way in hell that you're not getting covered with this spray of blood once you, you know, transect the, you know, jugular and carotid arteries in the neck.
And also Little Benjamin, 5 years old.
He was in bed with his sister, wasn't he?
He got the axe to the face.
Oh my God.
Over and over again.
I wonder, like...
Heartbreaking.
It is.
It's heartbreaking.
And there's like several different categories of familicide. One of them is like to punish a member of the family. Like they did something wrong and this person then kills the entire family to, I don't know, punish that person.
Well, I think Benjamin saw who killed him.
I think you're right. The other one is like, well, no, actually, it's still part of this first one. It is, then they blame that member of the family for what they've done, right, which is ridiculous. And then there's one like, oh, I just blanked. Like, the family doesn't live up to your expectations. So, like, your family's a disappointment. Right. So you rid yourself of them.
That's what this feels like. This feels like a reset.
It does.
It feels like a reset if it was covered up. And I guess if we could say that a man did this and then went on a road trip, it's a form of covering it up, but it's how do you think this would be done? Let's say hypothetically, well, we know somebody did it, right? So whether or not it was David, or I'll just say it right now, or his brother-in-law, allegedly,
right? Allegedly,
he's innocent right now.
He is, which is crazy.
They're both innocent, and they are both. But I'm going to bring up why, in some ways, David is not the one who's, on paper anyway, as guilty looking, that it's possible that it's John Lewis.
So the first thing that grabbed me was the whole pizza digestion thing.
Yeah, you went into a thing where it's interesting because that became a big part of their case because they were really dating. But why did they obsess over digestion?
Because there's so many different factors and things like that. But like the medical examiner who did the original autopsies actually saved the stomach contents of every victim. Now, graphic. They said, yeah, like, but you could still identify like what vegetables they ate. So, it takes like 2 hours max to digest vegetables. So, fruit and vegetables
take far longer to digest than meat. But I think, you know, when you combine it with
that's
like
flipped.
Oh, really? Meats take longer to digest?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I looked up stuff like this for the first case we ever covered together.
Okay. I mean, if that's a fact, it's a fact.
So, because like of the like complex protein, you know, in meat and stuff, it does, it takes the longest, along with like fat. So vegetables take 2 hours max, even in children. And one of the podcasts that I was listening to, like I listen to it in my car while I'm at work and, you know, driving around for work. And, I heard one of the hosts say, you know, when there's a lot of physical activity, digestion slows down. I'm like, that is the wrongest thing I've ever heard.
it doesn't make sense.
And so that's why I looked it up to make sure, because common sense would tell you that the more energy you're exerting, the faster your body is digesting so that it can, you know, have the nutrients, you know, to go into your bloodstream.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And I think that's logical. thing.
Right.
So for them to say that, it's very odd. You know, it's a big, big error.
Yeah. It like huge. Like it was total opposite. So here's my point. They got home from Chuck E. Cheese at 8:12. So they would have to logically be dead by 10 o'clock or 10:15.
Well, they probably stopped eating around 7:30 at the latest.
Then
well, I wonder they where the closest that, Chuck E. Cheese is.
Then they said,
I mean, it's got to still be there, right? I mean,
Well, I don't know. And then they said, I forgot who said it. It might have been David, that like the kids had another piece of pizza once they got home for like a snack before bed.
Sure.
So let's say they had it, you know, at like 8:30. 10:30, he's still home. He hasn't left yet. But like he made a big deal about not being able to get in touch with Susan like that morning when he ended up in Wisconsin, like that morning, that early in the morning. Like he started to kind of like throw up the flag and be like, I can't get in touch with her. Has anybody heard from her? Those kinds of things. And, you know, he was trying to make them concerned. And this is why at first I thought what I thought. And that Tuesday, the kids weren't in school. The principal testified to that. So, yeah, nobody had heard from them for, well, an entire day before the police showed up.
Right, right.
So, you know, that to me, just he was still home, in my opinion, when the murders could have occurred based solely on the digestion. I could be totally off, but if that's the case, he was still home. He didn't leave until 11, 1130, midnight, anywhere in there. They had to have been dead before he left. That's what I think.
If, you know, if we're to go by digestion.
Right.
Now, and what happens if the family's lactose intolerant? And no, I'm being serious.
Well, I'm lactose intolerant.
Or like, they're just, you know, a number of factors can be put into place.
Exactly.
I personally don't think we can determine, we cannot like date something based upon how long food has been in our bodies. I mean, to a point. We're not down to like,
yeah, like
a couple hours.
Right. Like that shouldn't be like, you know, the clincher.
Personally, I don't buy that. Like we're not dusting for vomit, you know, like we're not. I mean, it's kind of what. It's actually a Spinal Tap. This is a Spinal Tap joke, but.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Yeah, they just make a comment. It's like one doesn't dust for vomit. So, but yeah, I mean, sure. To a point.
Right.
Also if they're killed, the body's just left there, you know, and the food is sitting there fermenting inside the bodies.
Ugh. Yep.
Of course the digestion, I don't know, does digestion continue on some level? I mean, there's still enzymes in your stomach that don't die immediately. So I just don't know. But they kept on bringing it up, and I was like,
there's
got to be something more.
Right.
And can I tell you what was more?
Absolutely.
So, John Lewis was David's brother-in-law.
Yes.
He was married to Susan's sister, Martha. They're now divorced, but whatever. He worked in a local hospital to the area.
Right. Oh, and I think I know what you're going to say.
What?
Go ahead. I'm not gonna.
Well, he came home the same night of the murder.
Mm-hmm.
In an unrelated way.
With?
Yeah, well, he walked to his wife and he said, I have these bloody scrubs.
Yep.
That were given to me by a doctor. And I want to know, can you wash them? And I'd be like, the fuck are you talking about? Like,
seriously, like the hospital has that biohazard. Unlock. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't know who the hell's blood that is.
Who's, what doctors give? Oh, John, do me a favor. I can't ask these guys to wash these scrubs again. I swear they're going to take Mike Parkin's spot away. Can you just bring this home to your wife? And she'll be a doll and just throw my scrubs in.
Oh,
no,
wait,
no. You just throw them out.
Right. Like,
so it's like, hey, Martha, can you please wash them?
Yeah, weird.
She very doesn't, weird. As far as we know, she doesn't question it. She
That's
also,
even weirder.
Martha comes out and she, you know, because they're questioned, they're like, where were you? Right. And Martha's like, well, you know, John was home all night.
Oh.
And then it gets reversed. It gets changed.
Because they'd get divorced.
Well, she would come out not while they were still married. She comes out and she revises it. She's actually, he did go out at some point to go lift weights.
Oh, damn.
Right. So it's been cited. This is all on the record. There were a lot of family tensions between John and David. John apparently was very jealous of Dave's
success.
Like I'm friends with the guy, like with David's success.
Right. And like, I guess like the, Susan went to like a baby shower and like
John, wasn't invited or something.
Right. And like, it was like this big dramatic high school situation.
What's so interesting about, a lot of this is he is clearly at the very least a suspect.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But he was questioned early. He passed a polygraph test.
Which, exam. You know, doesn't really mean anything.
And it helped shift the police. But it all helped shift the police away from him.
Right back to David.
Which I'm like, well, what? There's more evidence that John did it than another thing. When this was brought to the public, the way they describe it is that that John is Susan's brother, but he's not. He's married to the sister.
Right.
So when it comes to John and David, they have no blood together. You know, just like all the siblings, you know, like just like the married people. They just know each other through marriage.
And,
and there is that animosity, is that anger and jealousy.
Yeah.
But none of this is brought to the table. And I think that that is genuinely a complete smoking gun. Like
I agree that like people have been killed for way less than jealousy.
There were bloody surgical scrubs.
The
night of the murder.
Right.
And what they did is instead of investigating him, what they did is they tore apart the house. And if you look at your screen, I'm going to show you the house. It's not for sale at the moment.
I don't want to live in it.
They tore apart the house. They opened up the sewers and the gutters. Yeah. They were like, we have to find something.
Everything. And Luminol like wrecks everything. So like they had to like repair the whole house. It was crazy.
So of course they've redone it since. I mean, this is what 35, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
Yeah. 42. Cause Keith was born in 83.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
I got 10 years on him. Yeah. So, this is all like, you know, it's nice. It's whatever. It's very, you know, fine, but we'll get to the bedrooms. It's all been updated. So here, this is the master.
Really,
it's the master bedroom. So this is where they found her body.
Yeah.
Which is bananas, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The other view of it. And this kind of opened my eyes to a couple things.
So why are there two doors?
Yeah, there's two entrances. So
none of them are a bathroom because you can see the staircase in the first one and another door.
Yeah.
in the other one. That's the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly why, but, you know, it's just this. At one point, this could have been two bedrooms, maybe, and they had a dividing wall.
Yeah, that's true.
Just not really sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of this stuff is a little bit older, from the 80s. Mm-hmm. So some of the stuff was there. Like, these countertops, these are from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And here's, like, well, one of the smaller bedrooms where, you know, likely found.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it takes, it, just looking at the space, it's a little bit eerie. I mean, they cleaned it up, of course. It's updated. Yeah. New paint, new everything. It's just nice where it happened.
On the rug.
Yeah, the lines. But yeah, they didn't find anything. But they brought him to court and they prosecuted him and gave him a life sentence. I'm talking about David Hendricks. He went to prison for four life sentences.
He did, but wait, stop for one second. Yeah. So the jury found him guilty after, I think, five and some change hours. And then they decided that they were going to recommend the death penalty. But the judge on the record said, I do not agree with the jury's verdict, so I'm not going to impose the death penalty. I'm going to give you four life sentences.
Right.
So if he decided to have a bench trial, he never would have been convicted.
Yeah. And if he had done the penalty, if he had gotten the death penalty, we wouldn't even be talking about this today. Well, we might be talking about this. It would be more in line with our podcast.
Yeah, because they automatically file an appeal when someone's sentenced to death. That's why, like, everybody is on death row from, like, 1890.
There's this YouTube video. This is YouTube channel that I watch from time to time. Mm-hmm. And it says, it'll have the name of the person. It's like, this person was just executed 5 minutes ago, you know?
Oh my God.
And it's crazy. And it goes into the whole story of the person. And they track all of these people who are on death row who, you know, did really heinous things. And,
wow.
Now I am, you know, this is very controversial. I might've mentioned it before. I'm all for the death penalty.
Oh, same.
As long as there is no question.
No shadow of it. Right. Yeah. Because we have executed innocent people
and
before.
I feel that way with prison too.
I do too.
And when we can talk about this case right now, and there's evidence that we don't have, but no charges were ever filed against John.
No, never. Not,
they barely, it seems as though he passed a polygraph and then was gone. All right, Johnny boy.
And I mean, back then, like, that was like, oh, well, you passed the polygraph. You must be innocent.
It's bananas.
It is.
He would serve 7 years from 1984 to 1977.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we get a retrial.
Yeah.
It's brought up that the way that the entire case was handled was unfair.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a news segment. On YouTube, there's tons of this stuff.
There is a verdict. Oops.
There's tons of this stuff. And it's really fascinating. Huh.
Yeah.
It's, on the screen right now, we have a book, Reasonable Doubt, by Steve Vogel. It's on his YouTube channel. Nice. And I also want to mention something kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. Where is it? That this view that we're watching right now, I can't zoom on it here because... Can I? Oh, yeah, I can.
666 views!
Right.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So we are the 666th view.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Before,
I don't believe in coincidences. Trial,
I know. I don't either. There's no coincidences.
No.
Whatever. Let's go take a ride in your Volkswagen.
There's also a lot of sixes here. Six thumbs up.
Jeez.
66 subscribers.
Oh, my God.
Let's just change that to a nice little seven right there.
Yeah. We like that.
And you know what? I'll subscribe. And there you go, 67.
Oh, my God.
If I refresh, we'll... All right, so I'm going to play this.
Okay, and then I'll tell you what happened before that.
There is a verdict now announced in the David Hendricks murder case. Let's go live to the Law and Justice Center. Here's WJBC's Adam Nielsen.
Steve, David Hendricks is a free man. The jury of 8 men and 4 women returned not guilty verdicts on all 4 counts of first-degree murder. Hendricks sat back with his hands folded and smiled as jurors were pulled. Hendricks' family members jumped up and applauded. They were told to sit down and shut up. But
that is that your family or what?
You know what? That's not my family.
No? Would they say, like, don't let her go?
No, I think that they would
I'm just kidding.
Like, silently be like, all right, that's great. It's a win.
Shut up and sit down.
Like, oh my God, that's so funny. I love when judges get like medieval on people for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a thing.
There was so quite before, a bit of.
Oh, sorry. I was going to play just a little bit more of it. But yeah, you feel.
No, that, you can. Yeah. I just want to touch on this real quick. So when he was first convicted, 21 months after that, it went to the Supreme Court. They upheld his conviction. And then the 8 years later, or the 7 years later, rather, this is unprecedented ever in the state, I believe. It was 6-0 to overturn his conviction.
Interesting.
Yep. But go ahead and play the rest because I want to hear this.
Well, this is a very long. I'm just going to play probably another minute or two of it.
Yeah.
Jubilation among family members, Laverne Hendricks and Nadine Palmer hug Mike Costello, the defense attorney.
You hear people in the background, right? Like, oh, like, my
oh God.
God.
After the verdicts were returned and after the jury left the courtroom, the courtroom was packed. It included several members of the Hendricks family, former McLean County State's Attorney Ron Dozier, members of the Bloomington Police Department. They sat back and watched silently, as did prosecutors, who after the verdicts were read, didn't even look at Hendricks. Once again, David Hendricks has been found not guilty of the murders of his wife and 3 children in their Bloomington home in November of 1983.
Pretty crazy, right?
It is. It's bad when, like, when you know, maybe not this case, but like when you know that, like, okay, like the OJ case, say, and like Marsha Clark and, oh my God, Chris Darden, like they are just so, like their faces, mm-hmm. it just said everything. And it was just so sad because you knew he was guilty.
I don't think he's guilty.
You don't think OJ's guilty?
Oh, OJ. No, no, no. I thought you were talking about David.
No. OJ's guilty as sin.
We'll see. I think everybody, I think everyone has exactly the title of this book. If there's even a little bit of reasonable doubt, then that's it.
Which
I don't know enough about the OJ case.
I
honestly, it's not something that's ever really interested me enough. I don't get pulled into too many celebrity things.
So
from time to time
why?
I do, but
like, so I was, I think, I don't know, 3rd or 4th grade. I don't know, whenever, my mom would pick me up from school and we would come home and we had like the little TV in the kitchen and it would still be on. Like, she never freaking shut it off. I'm like, what is so interesting about this freaking case? I didn't know who the hell OJ Simpson was.
Mm-hmm.
But then like later down the road, like I found a mini series like where David Schwimmer plays Rob Kardashian and whatever. It's a great mini series. Right. And I was like, oh my God, I totally would have acquitted him too. Not because I think he's innocent, but because of the reasonable doubt. But that's for another time, because I could go on and on and on, but I won't.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories that are very interesting about the OJ case. It's one of those things that eventually it's on our list of things to do.
It is.
And I mean, there's a lot of rabbit holes to go down. And, you know,
they really are.
But so I do want to mention that while David was in prison, he did get married.
He did. Yes, he did. Yeah,
Pat Miller got married on December 20th, 1988 to a woman. She's a divorced mother of three from Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah. He ended up being married four times.
Four times.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, let's see. After he would get his first divorce. Well, yeah, I guess we can't count the first. He's a widow first.
Right.
So his second marriage to the one when he was incarcerated ended a few months after his release.
Yes.
He went on to have an additional marriage. Someone named Gazelle. He currently lives in Orlando, Florida with Gazelle. They do have children together. And he's presumed retired at the moment.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, because if he was 30 and 83.
There were some mentions. Now, I cannot confirm this, and it easily could be total nonsense, but some sources have mentioned that members of Susan's family attended his wedding. We're not sure, but...
So I would say that I would buy that, and here's why. Both David's mother and Susan's mother testified for the defense at his trial.
Yeah.
Trials, plural. So Susan's mother did not think that he was guilty. Which I always find that extremely interesting. Because there's been a few cases that I've seen where it's like, you know, the husband murders the wife, allegedly. But like the family of the wife, they don't believe that the husband did it. And that always interests me, because usually it's the other way around. Like, oh my God, that bastard killed my baby. You know what I mean? So that interests me. I don't know what to think about this case. Like,
what do you think about the book he wrote? Do you know about this?
I don't.
Okay.
But I'm definitely going to read it.
He authored a book called Tom Henry, Confession of a Killer. Now, this is one of those things that's in line with what we were just talking about with OJ.
I read that. That was pretty wild.
And it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, all right, well, what the fuck are you talking about here? Like, but I will say that when I look at this entire case, genuinely, I don't believe he did it. I think that there's enough reasonable doubt.
Yes.
So that I can believe that it's possible that he didn't do it. But when I learned about his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And how he has not even like looked into, for the most part, as far as we know.
Yeah.
That his brother John Lewis just, you know. And Susan have since divorced. She came out and said, I couldn't find this, but she's actually come out and said that she believes it was him.
Oh shit.
Now, of course, he's an innocent man. These are all allegations. Like, it's a legend.
Right.
We don't know.
But like, there has to be a reason why she thinks that.
Yeah, because she probably hates her ex-husband, but I mean, well, that's part of it.
I mean, of course, that's part of it, but I wonder, like...
I think he did it because of the evidence, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, who the hell comes home with random scrubs from some doctor? They're not even your scrubs.
And then, like, you tell your wife to say, like, you're home all night.
Please? Yeah, that too. That's just bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, you don't do that? You don't bring home bloody stuff. Hey, Keith. Can we have a talk real quick? So,
I don't.
All right. So here's the big part of it that true crime podcasts I listen to, all the stuff I watch, nobody talked about this.
Ooh. Okay. I'm really excited.
Whoever did it. How the hell did they do it? Meaning, how did they not get blood on themselves? How did they not have footprints?
No defensive wounds? I feel like someone Benadryl'd something.
Yeah, but they would have found Benadryl.
I know.
That was my first thought. I'm like, oh, maybe they drugged it. I keep going to it, too. Maybe they drugged it. They had to have done a top screen.
Yeah. I mean.
Don't even get me. They must have, right? I mean. Actually, you never know.
Sure the hell hope so.
You know, we didn't.
That's oh, what I'm my waiting. God. And you know what? I wouldn't enough, be shocked.
Huh. Be like, huh.
Yeah, really. Huh. You know, we didn't do that.
That is something I just did not think about.
Well, I feel like because, like, the cause of death was pretty, like, cut and dry. Oh, bad pun. Not intentional.
Cut and dry.
But like, would they have tested for drugs?
They had to have. They had to have.
I mean, this is 1983.
Let's ask Grock.
And I'm really curious. Also, active digestion stops at death. However, the food already in the stomach continues to break down due to existing stomach acid.
Yeah, there you go.
And more significantly, the unchecked activity of gut bacteria and cellular enzymes as the body decomposes.
All right, so, are you sitting down, Amy?
I'm sitting down.
So according to Grock, which is my AI of choice.
Yep.
There's no public record or mention of a toxicology screen.
Told you.
No blood analysis being performed on the victims.
I feel like the autopsies were just a formality.
The autopsies primarily focus on the cause of death, which is blunt force trauma and sharp force injuries from an axe and butcher knife, both of which were owned by the house, you know, and left in the house. No fingerprints. And the time of death estimation. But yeah, they don't mention it.
So, ready? Here's my thing. The brother-in-law had to have known that they had an axe or a hatchet, and obviously a butcher knife.
Sure.
And would leave it there because that makes David look guilty. And the fact that there is no toxicology report, it kind of swings me back David's way a little bit.
A little bit. Because
when would John have had the opportunity that night, like earlier in the evening, to dose them?
For all we know, he was with them.
That's true.
We just don't know.
We just don't know. But either way, you know, I agree that, like, John definitely looks like the guilty party here.
There's reasonable doubt, and that's the problem.
There's reasonable doubt, and yeah.
I still don't believe that David is as guilty as we think he is, but it's possible he is. I think that the way this was done was completely in like a hazmat suit, like one of these disposable ones.
Yeah. Like a Tyvek suit. Absolutely.
And I'm thinking that he must've thrown down or got killed and then stripped down completely.
Yeah. But how
do you go room to room? Without footprints. I mean, we're talking blood.
What if you had, like, they're all unconscious, conked out. You put, plastic down, like when you're going to paint or whatever.
I was going to say that, but they didn't show, it doesn't show evidence that anything was covered. The blood spatter.
Not even just the floor?
The blood spatter doesn't show evidence that there were coverings used.
On the floor?
On the floor anywhere.
Damn.
They said that the person who did it would have been covered in blood.
There's one way that they can do it that they would not be covered.
How?
And that is if they were standing behind the person.
I'm thinking they stripped down in the spot that they did it.
That's solid.
Barefoot.
Yep.
I mean, if he can manage to kill them silently.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's a terrible thing to think about. Now the scrubs, on the other hand, they were bloody.
Right.
I'm just not sure.
I'm sure they didn't test that blood either. So,
yeah. I mean, we didn't learn about it. It was too late. Right. It was gone.
Right. And not long before this happened, John had taken Benjamin for a walk, mm-hmm. and they were walking in, it's called Woodlawn Cemetery.
Okay.
And John said to Benji something along the lines of, "You're going to be here soon."
What?
Who the F says that? Like, that's his uncle, an adult person. And Benjamin is the youngest.
John said this to Benny Boy?
Yes. Yes, he did.
That would, if I heard somebody say that to my kid, I'd lose my shit. Oh, I would go nuts. Like, that's crazy.
Right?
That factoid.
I totally forgot about that until just now.
Well, the truth is, I mean, they could have done it together, but I think then you would have definitely.
But like, I feel like what's they the hate point? Each other, kind of, right?
But why? Why do? See, what's the motive? Who won at the end of this?
No one. I mean, David got out of prison. So,
no, okay, but I mean,
but like he had to go to prison in the first place. So that's really not a win per se.
See, if he must have known the first person they're going to look at is him.
Obviously. Yeah. That's where they go. That's why we do this podcast.
Do you think we're going to kill the person and then leave? And I'm not going to pee. I'm off the radar. I was driving all night.
Yeah.
It's just too stupid.
Yeah.
You fly out. You know what I mean? Like you.
Yeah.
You want to do this? What you do is you. I don't know. Because then they were like, well, he drove and he got a lot of receipts. Well, he could have flown out and got a lot of receipts.
Right.
I don't think it matters whether he drove or he flew or took a bus.
Right. There's a case. I think it was on like Forensic Files or something a long time ago. And. Someone rented a car and then took like they drove like a good distance away to like visit family in a different state, took a plane mm-hmm. back to home, killed I believe it was her, killed her boyfriend, spouse, whatever, and then flew back and then drove the rental car back.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them a long time to figure that out.
I also want to point out that John did have a key to the house. Mm-hmm. And that the back door was left unlocked.
It was, yeah.
On your screen right now, this is what I'm presuming is the back door.
Yes, because that is what the cops went. Is that?
I mean, it could have been changed over the years.
Yeah, the cops went into
look at that old fridge.
Damn. Wow.
Did they check in there for another body?
Oh my God.
take a scrub daddy of that thing. Jeez.
Seriously.
It's cool, but you got to clean that.
It's like the oldest thing in the house.
It's like the most haunted thing. 666, Amy, 666. So.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but this is where this crime happened. You said you wouldn't be comfortable living in a house where such a heinous crime occurred.
No, because I believe in
juju.
Yes, like the energy like imprints itself on a place where something extremely traumatic happened.
See, I agree with you.
That's why the Lizzie Borden house is like everybody's favorite freaking place to go around here.
I want to go to the Lizzie Borden house, but I don't.
I do too.
I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it as this is the kind of space that needs positivity and it needs this undoing of such nastiness. I mean, three children and a mother died in this home, and there's no reason. It doesn't seem to have a motive. It's not like the mother was like
having an affair or that we know of. Children. And, right.
I mean, she was like not a bad looking woman. Like it wasn't like she was ugly. It wasn't the elephant woman.
Right.
And like the elephant man. But the kids, like, it doesn't seem like they were like monsters.
Yeah, they weren't bad had kids. Like, they were, like, the quintessential perfect family.
And on paper, you know, David, you know, had this, like, job. Now, the last thing I guess we should get into is the very questionable behavior that comes out about David when he hired models for his prosthetics, which I wondered if that means that these were girls who were missing limbs.
No, but
that's kind of hot.
Did.
All right. I'm laughing. So, I'm just goofing around, but.
So like he had like 16 year old girls like naked.
And were they 16 like, for real though?
Was,
or
one of them was for real 16.
Now, there's so much to this though.
I know.
Like, does this mean he didn't go and he went to an agency and he said, I need models.
Nope. He sought them out.
Okay.
And like there was a mother with her daughter and cause she was pretty young. They don't say how old, but, like he said that they had to get naked and that's definitely not true. And the doctor who like helped come up with this said, yeah, no, it's not supposed to be worn under clothes. It's
right.
Supposed to
it's
be
supposed
worn
on top.
Over. Right. So like, this is really weird. He said that he had to like take plaster casts of like these women's breasts and stuff. So like he like is putting like Vaseline like on, you know, her breasts and like her abdomen. And like, they even say like, you know, under like her panty line and, you know, and put the plaster on. But like, why the hell would you need that? Like, you have this brace. It's a thing already. It's patented. What are you doing? Like, it kind of sounds like Albert DeSalvo.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I think that that's definitely questionable. It's definitely strange.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear about that, but what I heard about is that he would have them undress and wear the appliance naked. And they said, well, you had male models as well. Did they get naked as well? I didn't get a straight answer on that, but I'm going to presume no.
Yeah, probably not.
Now, and if like, he did.
So the models weren't allowed to testify either in court. So
that's interesting.
I thought so, too.
There were allegations that his hand like rubbed up against a woman's breast and these things. And so this is going to make it sound like I'm making an excuse for him, but I'm not. So doing that, touching another person on their shoulder or their breast or wherever is just not okay. Right.
Ever.
Right. And especially if they're under 18. I mean, that's, obviously. I mean, you know what? Just don't, you know, anyone from zero to, you know, 110. So 111, I'll get back to you. So, it's just not okay. So, but that doesn't make him a murderer. It makes him maybe a bit of a pervert and maybe it a bit of a creep.
Definitely. But it does not make him a murderer. And you're absolutely right.
And that is a character trait that, But it doesn't show violence. And there's a lot of violence here. This is a very violent case.
Yeah, this is very violent.
And I don't personally get the vibe of a violent person. That's not to say that he didn't have a snap. He, you know, who knows?
Because, like, when I was reading some things, like, it said, like, it wasn't, like, overly overkill, except for Benjamin. Like, it was, like, intimate and, you know, like not like hateful and forceful.
Yeah.
So that is another like thing to contemplate. You know, I just I go back and forth here.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have a definitive answer of what I think. I think that either man could be guilty. I believe that one of them most likely is.
I think one of them. Yeah, it's definitely. Well, it's just, I guess I wish there was a motive.
Right.
He, you know, David didn't appear to have a bad marriage, but he definitely seemed as though he wanted maybe a bit of a more sexual relationship with someone who wasn't his wife.
Right. And also with like how strict, you know, their religious beliefs were, a lot of times that like sends people in like a tailspin of sin. I don't know. Like,
but it's Christianity. I don't know. I look at Christianity as a pretty forgivable religion.
Well,
the whole point of Christianity, this Jew is telling you, is that Jesus, as long as you accept Jesus into your life, that you're forgiven of your sins. Oh, and that's an ongoing thing.
I, who happened to go to Catholic school,
right,
was told that we were going to be freaking damned.
But that's Catholicism.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
But Catholicism and Christianity are extremely different. You know, I know.
But like, there are some really effed up like sects of things like Protestantism.
But that's not what I mean. I just think that this might be closer to Baptists, maybe Pentecostal.
Yeah.
They're like, where did this Jews learn so much about Christianity? I grew up around Christianity my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. Like, deeply involved in, on the business side of Christianity. It's basically in my family. My father was an accountant for a Pentecostal church. And that's something we can go into in the future, because there is true crime there that was, that he was involved in. So, that being said, I have been around a lot of these things, and I think that they're, for the most part, I'm going to say that I think that like 95% of them are legitimate in the term. And when I say legitimate, I don't mean that that's the religion to follow. I mean, it's legitimate that the people who oversee it and they are the leaders of these groups, believe it. They're not full of shit, you know?
Yep. Oh, I agree with you, but I will tell you that I grew up Protestant.
Yeah.
My dad's side was Protestant. We were Seventh-day Adventists. And
it's almost Jewish, is Seventh-day Adventist.
Your
Sabbath is Saturday.
Our dietary restrictions sort of the same.
Yeah.
But we can do cheese with a burger. That's like not against, whatever.
You're not supposed to. A 7-day Adventist would need a cheeseburger or have a milkshake with a burger or mix meats and dairy.
Yeah, right.
Normally, you know.
Normally, but
I mean, I get it. You know, it's
they're just some of the most judgmental people I've ever met in my whole life.
But the whole basis, but the entire philosophy behind most Christian sects is that you will be forgiven for your sins as long as you are, I'll use the word saved and, you know, kind of lean towards the Pentecostals a little bit. Right. Pentecostals and the Baptists are the most fun, in my opinion.
I agree with you there.
And they're the biggest sinners.
And, you know, they've got like the soul.
And that's where you find the murderers. And this is where you find the ex-drug addicts and the ex-drug dealers. And it's, you know, that's just my experience. But the thing that is very attractive to people is the fact that you will be absolved of your sins if you, you know,
except have Jesus.
The trifecta, right? The Holy Spirit and the
I forgot the three. Father, Son, Holy.
Yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
speaking in tongues and everything.
You know, I have never seen that
I have.
In real life, but I kind of would like
I believe
to.
It.
Just to see it.
I think it's legitimate. I think it's honest. And people are like, what are you talking about? You're Jewish. And it's like, that doesn't mean that other things don't exist.
Yeah, right.
I also follow Kabbalah, you know, and that's the mysticistic side of Judaism.
So, yeah. I am obsessed with Judaism as a whole.
What's the oldest religion?
Right. I have a family friend, you know, who's kind of like the fun uncle, and he's Jewish, and he's taught me so much about Judaism and, you know, the mysticism and stuff like that. And he is a mystic.
But the difference here is there is no forgiveness. You know, like, well, there is, but it's like you are not, you don't make these mistakes in Judaism. You're right. Coming back is essentially it. Because there is no hell.
Right. And
so when these people are doing these things, and they're part of the, you know, the Christian movement, mm-hmm. I just don't. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. They're such a big part of their churches. I don't know anything about what John's religion is or was.
Yeah, it's a weird. Like, they didn't really go into too much detail, but like, I've never heard of such a thing.
But yeah, I have it here. In 2008, Martha Neals, who is John's ex-wife at this point, mm-hmm. So this is 17 years ago, held a public press conference accusing his ex-husband, John, of the murders, describing him as, quote, mentally unstable, and urging the Bloomington Police Department to reopen the case and investigate him. The McLean County State's Attorney, Bill Yoder, at the time, reviewed it but declined to reopen it or further investigate, stating there is no new credible evidence.
Hmm.
How about the old evidence?
Right.
Bill, you listening, Bill? There's old evidence. How about that?
There is old evidence.
How about we bring those bodies up? You know, how about we get the bodies up
and we do it? How about we take some tissue samples?
A friggin' talk screen, you know?
That would be great.
I don't know. Can you do a talk screen so much 40 years later?
Yeah, you can.
Maybe we should, like, you know, push this because it's, like, kind of bananas that,
you know. I think so, too.
Now, let's say we find Benadryl. Like, holy crap.
I would shit.
Well, I don't know where. I wouldn't. Would you? I think you would expect it.
Yeah.
You said it. You were the first person to say it.
I know. But, like, what I can't say is what it was in. I don't think that he dosed the pizza.
Remember, they did a pizza when they came home.
Right. But, like, maybe they have, like, a nighttime ritual where, like, they drink, like, I don't know, a glass of milk before bed or have a little bit of juice or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Now, I know people, and something I really don't agree with, who give their kids Benadryl when they want to sleep.
Oh, my God, don't get me started.
It's a thing.
Do not get me started. I know it is.
And, you know.
They literally have the warning on children's Benadryl.
They dose kids.
And it's so, like, that's not something to play with. It's not just some over-the-counter medication. Like, it can be very dangerous.
You know,
very dangerous.
So, I'm a Boy Scout leader. I think I mentioned this before.
Yes.
But I'm in my final year because my son got his Eagle, and I'm just going to finish it up and walk away. So, we were on a camping trip.
Yep.
One of the young kids, it was one of his first nights with, you know, sleeping out. And it's always nerve-wracking for kids.
Did he bring Benadryl?
He wouldn't go to sleep. He was really, you know, antsy. He was very upset. So he's like, I really want to go home. I'm like, all right, look, I'm going to call your parents. Everything's going to be cool.
I feel like,
don't worry.
You told me this.
I called them up.
Yeah.
And they're like, just give him some Benadryl.
Yep, you did tell me this.
Out of your mind? Like, I'm not giving a kid Benadryl.
And it's like linked heavily to dementia later in life. Yep. So our benzodiazepines. So are things like Prilosec and Nexium.
Benzos. Benzos, super highly addictive.
Yeah.
If there's ever a reason to not abuse benzos. I recommend people look up. It's really somebody I really admire named Jordan Peterson. His books are incredible. He's a fantastic thinker. He got really hooked on it. Really hooked on it.
Yeah, and he got off it.
He managed to get off it, and he's like, it was the worst thing that he's like, it was just, it's a daily struggle.
It's terrible. Like, I take it because I am prescribed it for my anxiety.
Yeah.
And I had a prescriber one time who, like, just disappeared. Not kidding you, disappeared. And, like, the office wouldn't fill it for me.
Wow.
And so, like, when you have taken it for, like, a long period of time.
Well, it's unhealthy for you to just stop.
You can have seizures.
Yeah.
You can die. And I did. I was having mini seizures. And I've never had that happen It was the scariest thing.
From what I understand, it's literally like an alcoholic going cold turkey.
It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, they'll go into seizures, and the only way out of it is to possibly give them a little bit of booze.
Yep. Or,
you know,
go to detox. Like, they'll give you clonidine, which is, it's not clonopin. It's a blood pressure medication, technically.
Right.
They use it a lot for people with anxiety, for people who have trouble sleeping, but it helps with, like, you know, like the tremors and things like that of the withdrawal of both alcohol and benzos.
And that's another thing. We don't know. Like, the question, was anyone on medication, right?
Right.
Was there anything? And we just don't have any answers. But
I didn't even think of that. And as a pharmacy tech, my God. Well, as a former pharmacy tech.
So the husband may have done it in this particular case.
May have, but I really do agree with you. Like, this, what, you know, I was doing research and, you know, listened to a couple things, and like, it took a freaking like 180, just like Murder in Monaco.
Yeah.
And I was like, again?
Yeah, but at least this wasn't this horrible documentary. Well, not horrible. It's not horrible, but
it was really good up until the misleading. First weekend. Yeah, it's wicked misleading.
It was very misleading. But so that brings us to the end of the episode. If you're still listening and you're still with us, you've made it to the end. Congratulations. Yeah.
And next time, we will actually have a husband who for sure did it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really 50-50 on this.
I know.
And that's crazy.
Like, I mean, 50-50. Even the judge was like,
it's reasonable doubt.
Yep. And there was so many, like, this is one of the most circumstantial cases I've ever seen, ever. It just... it's crazy.
If he's innocent and he didn't do this, then I'm really happy for him.
Me too.
If he got away with it, I just hope he can try to be a better... well, I mean, he's older, he's in Florida, but I hope that he was a better person and that he regrets what he did if he is guilty. Agreed. I mean, what else can you ask for? I mean,
basically,
what's done is done. And
right.
It's just the worst. It's the worst. It's the worst.
I know. And but, I hate cases like this because, like, they keep me up at night. I'm like, who did it? I will go back and forth. And
we just know somebody did. You know?
Somebody did it. Yeah. And it definitely was someone who was known to the family. There was no forced entry, you know, all that. And I don't even think it matters that they could, like, get into each bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, unnoticed or whatever, because they were out cold, it seems.
Well, in this situation, the husband may have done it, but the name of the show, of course, is The Husband Did It. Right. People should check out our other podcast. It's called The Wife is Guilty.
Yes.
It can be found at thewifeisguilty.com. Weird, right? That's a weird name to have.
I know.
People should subscribe to both, because we're going to have a lot of things going on. We have Book of the Month Club coming up. We have Documentary of the Month Club, and all just types of really cool and interesting things to just kind of get your mind out of your AI gutter and get it on into the sick and twisted world of, you know, people like, isn't this crazy what AI can do? AI could not. Yeah, I think it's crazy what happened to this, to the Hendrix
family.
Agreed. I mean, we're not there yet, but I mean, I'm sure AI will be committing crimes very similarly.
Oh my God.
I've seen Terminator.
Someone's going to hack AI and it's just going to be like a hacker, super hacker.
I hope so. I'm all for it.
Oh God. But, so many of my things have been hacked. I literally have like free memberships to like every identity monitoring thing out there. It's ridiculous.
I feel like it's too much.
It is.
But Amy, I want to thank you so much for the work that you've done in this particular
episode
and all the others. Again, people should just check out our other podcast, The Husband Did It. We also have, The Wife is Guilty. And we also have Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, which is like the OG podcast.
Yeah, that was the first case that I covered with Mark.
If you're listening to this podcast and you happen to be on YouTube, click the like button and subscribe. We would do appreciate it.
Definitely.
And while you're at it, head on over to our Patreon, which I don't remember at the moment, but if you look right below, you're going to see that link.
Click it,
find out all about it, and we're going to be good to go.
Yes.
But thank you so much, Amy, and I look forward to the next one.